Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Apostle E.J. Melvin coming to you live from the studios at Waves of Glory here on Blog Talk Radio. This is an awesome day and an awesome opportunity in the body of Christ and in the kingdom of God today. All around the nation, Christians will be bowing their knees, falling on our faces before God. The problem being today that we're praying for the nation. According to a presidential edict, this is a national day of prayer. So around the nation, churches will be coming together, groups will be gathering, students will be coming around a flagpole, and we will be lifting up our voices, crying out to God for the course of our nation. And we know that the power of prayer can and has changed the course of a nation many times in our spiritual history, but God has to have someone in place in order to effect that particular change, such as Daniel and Esther. For those of you who read your Bible, you know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Daniel with the children of Israel in Babylon captivity, and I'm talking about Esther with the children of Israel, how God raised her to the place of queendom so that she might be strategically placed in order to effect the change and the course of her nation. With that particular position, she saved the nation. But today, the Spirit of the Lord has heavily laid upon my heart that the prayers that go up for the nation today, it's not the nation that is in trouble, it's the church that is in trouble. And when we see the church do a glorious turnaround, then will we see this nation begin to flourish once again. There is a campaign slogan that says, make America great again. That's what's happening in the political arena. And that's the promise that the politicians are making, and that is to make America great again. But I'm telling you by the Spirit today that the nation that forgets God will surely perish. And that's what's happening in our nation. We can't tell the difference between right and wrong anymore. We call good evil and call evil good. And this is a prophetic word that was promised to us throughout the scriptures, that in the last days that men will call good evil and call evil good. And believe you me, if you look around, if you look into the news, if you look at television, if you read a newspaper, if you go on the internet, if you are in any wise tuned in to technology, you find across the board that men and women are calling good evil and calling evil good. We look at a man dressed up in a woman's dress with earrings and pantyhose and makeup on his face, and we call that bravery, and we call that courageous. And then we see a young man on the football field lifting his hands to God, and we say that's an affront to the nation, and we are upset that he would kneel down to pray and raise his hand to God. But I'm telling you today that there is a remedy in our midst. There is a way to turn this nation around, and it has nothing to do with the voting booth. It has nothing to do with the political arena as we know it. Yes, I do advocate going to the polls and voting and choosing, but my God, let me tell you, if the church doesn't come into her glory, it doesn't matter who goes into the national White House. We are still going to continue to plummet because we have chosen to reject God and to reject the principles of God. Then we are seeing this nation turn into exactly what the enemy would have it to turn into. We are seeing, in according to Romans chapter 1, we are seeing men going after men and women going after women. We are seeing a reprobate mind coming into the forefront. We are seeing the spirit of perversion take over our nation in every way, shape, and form, because the church is becoming conformed to this world. We are doing what the world is doing. We are acting the way the world is acting, even on our social media. We are reacting the way that the world is reacting to world events, and that is not our portion, people of God. So today, hallelujah, our purpose online and in the airways today is to release a prayer of repentance unto God, to repent for the church. Now, when we look into the scriptures this morning, we're going to be going into 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We who are studied in the word probably know that I'm going to be talking about 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, that says, "If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land." Now, I listen to this scripture and I hear it, and it rocks my world every time, because I think to myself, how can the church have wicked ways? How can the people of God have wicked ways when we are committed to Him? We are His people. We are at one with Him. How can this be? But the fact of the matter is that the Apostle Paul lets us know exactly how we can be those people that are have wicked ways. And that's found in Galatians chapter 5. Praise the Lord. Hey, thank you, Jesus. And I said, okay, God, let me see exactly what wicked ways are you talking about. What is it that we have done that will cause God to turn his face from us and allow us to be held in captivity by the prince of this world? And in Galatians chapter 5, I believe if we go down to, let's see, verse 13, the Apostle Paul is speaking to the church at Galatia. These people have come out of bondage, and they have been following after Christ, and they've been doing well. But here in verse 13, he says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." And this is what has happened to the body of Christ, is that we have begun to indulge our flesh so much so that we begin to look exactly like the world. And when you really look into the content of our character, you can't tell the difference between the church and the world. Now, when we indulge the flesh, this is what happens. Paul says, if the entire law is fulfilled in keeping one command, and that command is love your neighbor as yourself. Then he says, but if you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. And it's not the enemy that is with outside the walls of the church that is destroying the church, but it is the enemy that is within. It is the flesh of walking according to the leading of our flesh that is causing us to devour, to bite and devour one another from church to church, from city to city, from state to state, from nation to nation. The power to turn this thing around is in the pews, it's in the hands of the Christian, it's in the hand of the person of God who calls himself Christ-like, who has committed his life to Christ and is allowing the Spirit of God to operate in him. We have a choice, people, to either live by the flesh or live by the Spirit. And it's more comfortable to live by the flesh. We don't have to resist when we live by the flesh. We just go with the flow. But if we're going to operate by the Spirit of God, if we're going to live life in the Spirit, we have to subdue and crucify this flesh and tell the flesh no, and tell it that it can't have things the way that it wants. And we have to resist it and make it obey. In verse number 19, here in Galatians chapter 5 says, the acts of the flesh. Now see, these are the wicked ways that the Spirit of the Lord is telling us we need to turn from, church. These are the acts of the flesh. And Paul says the acts are obvious because it's sexual immorality. Hallelujah. Impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft,
hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy. We're talking about the church now. Drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now we say, oh, that was back in those days. That was back, he was talking to the church at Galatia. But I want you to look around your congregation this morning. I want you to take an inventory of the situation, circumstances, and happenings that are going on with the Christian people that you personally know, and you may even be looking in the mirror. When you look in the mirror, or when you look at your brothers and sisters that you have personal knowledge of, do you find their sexual immorality? Do you find that we are still having children out of wedlock? Do you find that we are still fornicating? Do you find that we are still perverse in our sexual relations? Do you find that we are impure in our thoughts? Do you find any idolatry and witchcraft in the pews? Do you find that we have exalted things above God? Do you find that we are being manipulated or manipulating one another with mind control? Do you find that even from the pulpit that the congregation is being manipulated with, if you don't do this, this is going to happen to you. If you don't stay with this church, God is going to curse you. All types of manipulation from the pulpit, and not just from the pulpit, but from one to another, we are manipulating one another, twisting the word of God, twisting the wisdom of God, so that we can have our way while we are calling ourselves Christians. These are the things that God is saying that we have to repent from, turn from our wicked ways. Paul said, fits of rage. How many of you have had fits of rage or have been at the brunt of fits of rage? How about jealousy in the body of Christ? Have you ever exhibited jealousy over something or someone in the body, or has someone projected jealousy against you, another fellow Christian, brother or sister in Christ? I'm telling you, these things are running rampant in the church, and we are the catalyst for the kingdom of God to come in the earth. But if we are looking and acting the way that the world is, there is no way that God can make himself seen in this earth until the church comes back to him, turns from her wicked ways today. Glory to God, let it be today, not tomorrow, but today the church is going to repent. We are here on the airways this morning to repent on behalf of the church, not on behalf of the nation, because we have to get it together on the inside first. The Bible tells us that judgment begins at the house of God, and we have just let that particular verse of scripture slip. We have let it just slide by, and we continue to complain about President Barack Obama, the Obama administration, the Congress, and all the senators, and all the corruption that's in politics. But we are not talking about the church and the wickedness that is prevailing there. We look at it when maybe there's a scandal in the news of one person being put on Front Street, put under the spotlight, even thrown under the bus by some fellow brethren or sisters in the Lord. But listen, this thing is running rampant, and it's not just one person. We may just get to see one person whom God has been dealing with for a season, and they refuse to repent. Then and only then does God allow that thing to come to the surface, because judgment begins at the house of God. Once God has judged the house, then he's going to move on to the nation. And so today, brethren and sisters in Christ, I'm asking you to bow your knee, bow your head, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and begin to repent for the church. Begin to repent for our idolatry. idolatry. Glory be to God. We have gone after other gods. Even in the church today, we see that people have given more reverence to celebrities than they are giving unto God. We saw when Michael Jackson died, the whole nation wept. The whole nation was sorrowful. The whole nation was humble, even the world. And now Prince died, and it's once again we see an uproar, and we magnify him. And I'm not saying that he didn't do a good work, he or Michael Jackson, but I'm talking about the nature of a people who come together around people, around the creature rather than the creator. But when you lift up God, people don't even want to talk about it. Even Christian people want to try to keep our hands behind our backs. We don't want anybody to say that we are fanatical about Jesus, but it's okay to be fanatical and turn our profiles purple and put on a silver glove and elevate men in the natural. But it's time that we lift up the God that we serve, not just with our words, but our lives must begin to be manifested as the sons of God. And we have to turn from our idolatry. It's not always a celebrity. Sometimes we're looking in the mirror at the one that we idolize, and we give ourselves over whatever our flesh asks of us. That's idolatry. When we put ourselves before God, that's a form of idolatry. When we worship what we want more than what we're worshiping God, that's idolatry. Glory be to God. So don't make the picture of idolatry so big, like the statue of Baal they were planning to put up in Times Square in New York City. And where was the church outcry? Just a few notes in the paper, just a few notes on social media about this particular statue of Baal going up in Times Square. We've got churches in our cities, almost two or three on every corner, but there was no public outcry. There was no conversation among the people of God. We just sat by and were quiet. And only by the grace of God was this particular thing canceled. But things are happening around the nation that lets us know that we are not on our knees the way that we should be. For the word of God tells us that if just two or three of us would agree concerning anything in the earth that we ask, God would do it. But somehow we have thousands and millions of Christians who say that we are praying, and yet our world is going to hell in a handbasket. Yet our world is crumbling. Yet corruption is on the rise, and evil seems to reign because we are condoning, or at the least we are turning our head and saying, well, that's not touching me, so I'm not going to touch it. But today on this platform, we are going to cry out to God that the church would turn from her wicked ways, that we will turn from rebellion against God. Somewhere in the word of God, it says that sometime during the absence of Jesus, that we were to fall on our knees and fast and pray that the kingdom of God would be revealed in the earth. But you don't hear much anymore about fasting and praying. It's become old-fashioned to fast and pray. So we don't talk about it, even in the churches. We don't say much about having a fast day because we have relegated that to quote-unquote ritual and religion. So we don't fast as a body, and then we don't fast individually. Yet Jesus said when the bridegroom is taken away, then would his disciples fast. So we have rebelled against God in just that one little thing, but many more things, specifically in love your neighbor as yourself. We still have attitudes one with another. We can still pop off against one another. We can still crucify each other on social media and even amongst ourselves. We can kill each other with our tongues. In essence, that's rebellion against God. God has instituted a structure and an infrastructure for the body of Christ, and we are doing everything except following that infrastructure, then we have divorce in the body of Christ. When we know that marriage is a covenant ordained by God till death do us part, and instead of waiting for God to give us a mate, we marry somebody, we stand in front of the altar and before God and a group of witnesses, we declare to death do us part, and then the divorce rate is the same as it is for people who do not know God. That is an affront to God, and that is wicked in the sight of God. I'm not saying you're supposed to stay in a bad marriage, but I'm saying you're supposed to wait on God so you don't enter into a bad marriage. And then if you have trouble, then the Bible gives us a way to work those things out till your marriage can become one that will honor God. Oh, in the name of Jesus, it's wicked to come into a marriage with the thought, if it don't work out, we'll just get a divorce. That is not the mind of God. That is not the plan of God. And if we would read our Bibles, we would find the verse of scripture that Jesus said, God hates divorce. But we don't care what God hates. We want what we want. Then we are in the body of Christ and we are having abortions. First, we're fornicating. Then when we don't want the children, we are aborting our babies. We have sexual morality on every side. We are manipulating. We have hatred in the pews. We have emulation, which means we can't hold on to our own identity. We see somebody doing something, and we emulate that person, and we lift them up until we lose our own identity, trying to be like them. Jesus wants you to be who you are today, and he has not made you a carbon copy. He's not made you a stalker to stalk somebody and become like they are. We have backbiting and devouring one another in the pews. Am I right about it? We are lying one another. We are lying to one another, and we're lying on one another. There are false accusations going out amongst the brethren. Oh, God help the church today. And there are alliances with evil. We come into the companies of those who are doing evil, and not only do we not rebuke them or speak out against it, we begin to be engrafted in that thing. Listen, church, this is the will of the Lord today, that we would repent for our wicked ways. We're busy trying to get the world to turn to Jesus, and we haven't yet turned fully. There's still too much of our flesh in control. And so today, in the name of Jesus, I cry out to God for mercy on the church. Have mercy on us, oh God. Help us today turn from our wicked ways. Precious Holy Spirit of God, convict us today. Convict us of our impurities. Convict us of our debauchery. Convict us of our willingness to follow after the dictates of our flesh. Help us today, Lord, to submit to your will and submit to your way. Help us today to crucify this flesh in the name of Jesus. Let your Holy Spirit, oh, convict us right now, individually as individuals in Christ, and then collectively as a body of Christ. Oh, God, move by the power of your Spirit right now. Let the spirit of fire run through the church right now. Purge out everything that's not like you, Lord. For you told Solomon, if my people who, oh God, it humble themselves, who are called by your name, we are the ones who are naming your name today. We are the ones who are standing in the gap saying that we are Christ-like, that we are the Christians of this generation. But God, we don't look any different than the sinner and the heathen or the pagan. But Father, we ask you today to cleanse us by your word. Let your word permeate our beings. Let us be washed in the blood once again. Cleanse us from our sin. We repent of our idolatry in the name of Jesus. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We repent of our rebellion and witchcraft. You said in your word that stubbornness is as witchcraft and rebellion as the sin of witchcraft. Stubbornness is as idolatry. So if you think that because you're not worshiping in front of a statue that you're not in idolatry, the word of God says stubbornness is as idolatry. Father, forgive us our stubbornness
day. Forgive us our rebellion in Nehesha. In the name of Jesus, forgive us for backbiting. Forgive us for our jealousy one of another. Forgive us for false accusation. Forgive us for division in Nehesha. In the body of Christ, forgive us today, Lord. Have your way in the church, from the pulpit to the pew, to the usher at the back door. Let the anointing fall on us for repentance, that we would turn from our wicked ways. Then will you hear our prayer for the nation after we have turned from our wickedness. Oh, God, deliver your church today. Let revival fire burn up everything that's not like you, God. It seems that we want the miracles. We want the healings. We want all the flash and the glory, but we don't want to get it together and do right in your sight. Have mercy on us today, God. Have mercy on this church. Have mercy, Lord. Purge us, O God. Wash us with your word. Cleanse us from our iniquity. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the nation of America, let there come a move of your spirit that causes us to repent, that causes us to fall on our faces weeping, that causes us to cry over our sin the way we cried over Michael Jackson. Help us to cry over our sin the way we cried over Prince and Whitney Houston. Help us today, God, to be cognizant of the fact that we are not pleasing you because of our willingness to follow our flesh. Have mercy, God. Your word tells us your mercy is new every morning, and it is of your compassion that we are not consumed. We thank you today that you didn't reach out and consume us the way you did in the wilderness, when the ground opened up and swallowed up the rebellious people. We are grateful today that you've given us a chance to turn from our wicked ways. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, there are earthquakes everywhere. There's turmoil. There's tsunamis and tornadoes. And you said in the last days there will be earthquakes in diverse places. And we see it in the news today, places we didn't think would have earthquakes. The ground is shaking. Foundations are crumbling and people are dying. But God, you've given us another chance, and we repent today for the church. In the name of Jesus, we repent of selfish ambition. Even as the disciples wanted to rule and reign, and one on your right and your left, and nothing has changed in the body of Christ. We are vying for position. We want to be bishops and apostles. We want to be prophets. We want to be at the head and not the tail. We don't want to humble ourselves and serve one another. But God, today, I'm crying out on behalf of the church that you would restore to us the value of serving one another. For you came as a humble servant, and when you washed the disciples' feet, that was an example for us, not to get the big head. But Paul told Timothy, in the last days, we will see men and women be heady and high-minded, lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. And when we're looking around, no, when we're even looking in the mirror, we can see God, somebody who's heady and high-minded and prideful. Forgive us, oh God. Forgive your people today, and help us to turn from our wicked ways. In the name of Jesus, let your will, Dadahoshka, your will be done, not our will, oh God. Help us to fall on our face as Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane and say from sincerity, not my will, Lord, but your will be done, so that the glory of the Lord will be returned to the church. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that we will humble ourselves today, that no more will we look to the world for the answers to our world problem, but we will look in the church and know that if we humble ourselves under your hand, you promise us, God, you will forgive our sin and heal our land. Oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus, forgive our sin today. Forgive us, oh God.
God, forgive us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Turn us again. Turn us, oh Lord. Let our hearts be turned back to you, oh Lord. Let us crucify this flesh today, beginning with self, beginning with me, Lord. I surrender my ways. For your ways, my will, for your will. Oh, in the name of Jesus, throughout the body of Christ today, let the people of God humble themselves. Let the people of God once again say, search me, Lord. And if you find anything that shouldn't be, God, take it out and strengthen me. I want to be right. I want to be saved. And I want to be whole. Father, we just thank you today for this moment to examine ourselves to see if we be still in the Lord. Father God, let your people now be remedied and rescued in this place. And therefore, heal our land as the church comes into right standing with you. This we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, we thank you. Amen. This has been Apostle E.J. Melvin. I'll remain praying all the day through for the body of Christ to come into right standing once again with God till he rain down righteousness on us. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a blessed day.